So this week's parsha is Bo, and the final three are Makos appear in this week's parsha, Arba Choshech and Makos Bechoros. And I wanted to and then obviously the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, and then the Korban Pesach and Matzah, and then ultimately the plague of the firstborn and the Jews finally being granted permission to leave Mitzrayim, to leave Egypt. What I want to discuss is something that is a pattern that runs itself. It's an issue that gets repeated several times in the beginning of a Sefer Shmos, and it actually first appears in all the way back in the book of Bereishis, and it's something that seems to be like an afterthought, but clearly from the amount of times that it's mentioned, that it's emphasized, that clearly it was something that was extremely important and critical, and the question is like, why is it so important? So the thing that I'm talking about is the rechush, is the possessions, the wealth, the clothing, the gold, the silver that the Jews took with them when they left Mitzrayim, when they left Egypt, that they took from the Egyptians. And this is something, and as I mentioned, it appears several times in our Parsha. It also appears back in Parsha Shmos, and it appears actually for the very first time in Parsha Lech Lecha. And clearly, when something is being emphasized, so many times in the Torah, it's obviously something important, something which is very critical, right? Robert pointed out that the first time it appears is in the Bris Bein HaBsarim, is in the promise that that Hashem made with Avram. I guess I'll start with that, because that's the first time that it appears in the Torah, right? The famous few psukim that we invoke Seder night, when we say that the whole Egyptian bondage was something that God already had predicted, already had told Avraham would occur. We've talked in the past, why it had to occur, why it was so important for the Jews to be enslaved. But nonetheless, Avraham is told right away that when God makes a bris, makes a covenant with him, he says, that your children will be strangers in a strange land, be'eretz lo lahem, a land which is not theirs, vavadum v'inu osam, they will work there, they will be afflicted there, arba me'o shana, for 400 years, v'gamas agoy asher yavodu dan anochi, but eventually, the nation that will do this to you, I will judge, v'achreichein, and after everything's all said and done, yitzu b'rechush gadol, they will go out with b'rechush gadol, Rashi there in Parshas Lech Lecha, tells us that they will go out b'rechush gadol, b'mamon gadol, with a lot of money, a lot of money. So, okay, they'll go out with a lot of money. So, if I ask you the question, if someone would tell you, you're going to spend most of your life suffering and pain and horrible conditions, and but don't worry, when you're 117. You got a couple years left. You'll hit the jackpot. You'll win the $600 million Powerball lottery. Sounds like a good plan. Take the deal. Of course not. Right? It's like, okay. And yet, this is the fundamental promise, covenant that God is making with Avram. Like, don't worry. They'll get a nice paycheck at the end. So, okay, that itself is a question why Hashem says that. But maybe God forgot about it. Maybe that's actually not so important to the story. Maybe that's something which, I don't know, somehow snuck in the Torah, but it's really not so significant. The problem is that it is significant because the first time that it appears now in Sefer Shmos is 2 weeks ago in Parsha Shmos. At the Snet, the burning bush. All right, so when God is giving Moshe the instructions and telling Moshe all about what's going to unfold and what's going to happen, and they have to go to Paro and to demand the release of the Jewish people, and that ultimately God is going to strike the Bechor, the firstborn of Egypt. So big important information, right? That Moshe has to hear, right? He has to be given the plan. And by the way, God says, again, this is at the Snet, the burning bush. This is at the end of Parag Gimel. Paragimo Pasukhaf Aleph. Vinasati Eschem Am Hazeb Eini Mitzrayim. And you should know that I will give the grace of the Jewish people. The Jewish people will ultimately, they will be looked at very favorably in the eyes of the Egyptians. And Vahaya Ki Selechun, and when the Jews eventually will be released, Lo Se'elchu Rekam, they won't be released empty-handed. Instead, Vishala Ish Mishkanta Umigaras Besa, every woman shall go to her neighbors, right, her former slaveholders, and shall ask from her, Ushala, Klei Kesef, Klei Zav, Ismalos, gold and silver, and clothing. Just parenthetically, I remember Rabbi Chels always likes pointing out there's an often mistaken understanding of a very famous medrash. The medrash says that there were certain things that the Jewish people kept in Egypt that they were very careful about. So, you know, we know about, it says, I think, about the language that they kept. And one of the things that's often, you know, they kept their language. And one of the things that people often say, they didn't change their clothing. But that apparently does not appear anywhere in the Midrashim. And in fact, just the opposite. You see, they left with the Egyptians' clothing. So it seems like it wasn't like a bad thing that they were wearing Egyptian clothing. Because that's God tells them to ask for the Egyptians' clothes on the way out. And that, again, that's what it says. You're going to ask for gold and silver, usmalos, and clothing. And what's going to happen, you'll put the clothing on your sons and your daughters, and you're going to empty out Egypt. So, again, like right away, God didn't forget about the promise he told Avram. Clearly, this is very important because he has to emphasize it again when God's giving the instructions to Moshe. Don't forget that this is going to occur, that the Jews are going to leave with a lot of wealth, and they're going to get it from the Egyptian neighbors. The Mefarshim just also parenthetically struggle with the word Shalah. Shalah is often translated, you will ask, or perhaps you will borrow. So the question is, were the Jews deceiving the Egyptians? If you're going to borrow something, if you borrow something, that means that ultimately you're going to return it. Right? So the Mefarshim all struggle with this. So some say, yeah, I think I saw the Malbim I saw, the Sforno, one of them says that, yeah, they borrowed it initially because that's the only way the Egyptians were going to give it to them. But then they were able to keep it when the Egyptians pursued after them, because at that point it became a war, a Melchama. Right? The Egyptians were out to kill the Jews, seemingly. Right? They're pursuing after them. And then, and you know, the in terms of war, whenever the victor keeps the spoils. So at that point, the Jews were victorious, the Egyptians were defeated, the Jews were able to keep it. That's the approach against either the Malbim or the Sforno. And others say that no, that when it says that they asked for them, it didn't mean they asked them in terms of borrowing it, that they asked them in terms of, say, giving it to us, you know, for permanent, to keep. And that was given to them. That was the promise that the Egyptians would agree to it. So again, so that's what God tells Avram initially. That's what God now tells Moshe is going to happen. And now, let's see if it actually plays itself out. So in our parsha, Parsha's Bo, it's mentioned two times in our parsha. It's mentioned at the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, where, again, Hashem says to Moshe, one more plague I'm going to place upon the Egyptians. And afterwards, then, you know, Paro is going to send you out. Daber na bazne'am. Listen to the language God uses. Please. God says, please, please speak to the people. Moshe, please speak to the Jewish people. V'yishalu ish me'esra'eo v'yisha me'esra'usa. Have the men ask the Egyptian men. Have the Jewish women ask the Egyptian women. Klei kasef u'kleizav. For gold and silver. And if you think like that's absurd, why in the world will the Egyptians give you their possessions? Don't worry. Hashem says, I'm going to place the grace of the Jewish people. I'm going to grant favor of the Jewish people in the eyes of the Egyptians. And everything's going to be great. They're going to give you everything. In addition to that, we know that Rashi in this week's Parsha says, quotes the Chazal, that when the plague of darkness occurred, so we know that the plagues only affected the Egyptians, they didn't affect the Jews. So what were the Jews doing? What were they doing during the plague of darkness? Were they playing, you know, video games, playing cards, you know, board games? Like what were they doing? So the Medrash says, Rashi gives a couple of interpretations, but one of the interpretations is that the Jews went looking around inside the Egyptians' homes to see exactly where all their money was. The Egyptians couldn't see anything, right? According to the Chazal, they were actually like sort of couldn't even move. They were totally stuck. It was this thick darkness, but the Jews, it was nothing for them. They could walk right inside the Egyptians' homes like they were wearing like night vision goggles. So they could see, you know, open the drawers, open the closets, look under the beds, look all over the place. And they found exactly where the Egyptians, you know, where they kept their gold, their silver, their money, their clothing. And then when the Jews came knocking on the doors, they said, you know, please, you know, Mr. Egyptian, please give us, you know, your money. And all of a sudden the Egyptian said, oh, I'm a poor Egyptian. I don't have anything. They say, oh, but I don't you have in your third drawer, you know, in your kitchen on the bottom, you know, behind this, that. And they couldn't say, that's where the money was, because they had located it. So that's the Medrash. And then finally, so did it actually happen? Did the Jews really, you know, get these items? So, and also this week's Parsha, Perek Yud Beis is the all about the laws of Korban Pesach, and then ultimately the Makas Bechoros. So we're told the following. We're told about Vayhi Bechatzi Alayla. Right, we say this at the Seder, right? The things that happen at midnight. So lots of things happen at midnight. At midnight, Hashem Yikal Bechor Be'eretz Yitzrayim, God struck and killed the firstborn in Egypt. Paro starts running off. He's all scared. Where's Moshe? Get the Jews out of here. Get out of here, Paro says. Leave. Okay. And then the Egyptians try to hurry the Jews out of Egypt. Vatamaher. They're all going to die. Jews, get out of here. Get out of here. So now the Jews, right, they have their dough. It didn't rise yet. Right, the Yamata story. And then we're told, and here's the clincher, Uvenei Yisrael, Asuk and Var Moshe, the Jews listened to what Moshe said. By Yishalum and Mitzrayim, they asked the Egyptians, Klei Kesef, Klei Zav, they asked for gold, they asked for silver, Smalos, they asked for the clothing, Vashem Nasan, Asklina Am, Beinei Mitzrayim, Yishalum, and God, as promised, caused the Egyptians to find, the Jews find favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they gave them, they granted their request, by Natsuas Mitzrayim, they emptied out Egypt. End of the story. So, like, over and over and over again, there's this emphasis that the Jews should not leave Egypt empty-handed. They should be granted this gold and the silver and this clothing. And this was the promise that God initially told Avram Avinu, Bris Bein Absarim, reiterated to Moshe at the burning bush. And then Moshe again is told by Hashem, please don't forget to ask the Jews to do this. Moshe gives the instructions. And the Jews carry it out. Why is this so important? Why is this so critical? Why is this like a necessary part of the story? Hashem, you know, they don't take food with them. They take matzah with them right on the way out, and that matzah eventually runs out. And so God brings the man in the desert. So like, you know, why can't God provide them in the desert? You know, you drop the man every day, so drop a couple dollar bills every day. Drop some coins, you know. They're traveling the desert, and all of a sudden, you know, pass by a Macy's, and they can buy some clothing. Like, why is it so important that they get these things? It's clearly important because it's emphasized over and over and over again. So, the practical answer, obviously, is just that they needed these things. If you're going to be traveling. Right, you're gonna need clothing. You're gonna need money, right? So, it just was, you know, You know, and eventually, you might know the Jews are going to build a Mishkan, so they're going to need gold and silver for that Mishkan. So, where are they getting the supplies from? So, maybe it was all sort of planned out in advance that Hashem, created this mechanism that the Jews should have the supplies and presumably, even the garments they could use then for the coverings of the Mishkan. So, maybe that was the reason why it was so important. Possibly that's one reason suggestion that that's given. The Malbim suggests the following. He says this in a couple of places. He says that Shibalechtam in Aretz, when they would leave the land, Yivakshumesh Shechneam, they would ask their neighbors, their Egyptian neighbors, Shem Yuchulam Bateam Vaklei Besam, who Bavor Shavu Dimei Abatim Vakshumem Klei Kasa Klei Zav Shin Nochim Lasseis Osam Baderech. That in fact God did want them to have supplies along the way, and when he created a system that it would be fair for the Jews and also fair for the Egyptians, because if you think about it, when the Jews left Egypt, they couldn't take everything with them. Right, they're running for their lives. They can't take everything with them, and anytime someone has to move or you relocate, or someone's making aliyah. It happens all the time. People make aliyah, so you downsize usually when you make aliyah. You move into a much smaller apartment, smaller house, than you have usually in America. So there's lots of things that you try to sell, you give away. You can't bring everything with you. So the Jews, there's lots of things they couldn't bring with them, including their homes. And who is going to take over their homes? The Egyptians. So they made a deal with the Egyptians. Okay. I remember when I was a child, there was there's a book, and then the TV show Little House on the Prairie. So if I remember correctly, I think that the last episode is that whatever the town they were living in, they were I forget the details, I was very young, but somehow they were kicked out of the village. It was a dispute in terms of ownership, who owns it. And they were forced to leave the town that they had created. But on the way out, before they left, they didn't want whoever the bank, whoever it was, who was going to be taking over, to benefit from everything that they had built. They built the houses and the stores and everything. So what did they do before they left? They dynamited everything. They placed dynamite in all the buildings, and they destroyed the entire town. So that it's similar when the Jews when the Gaza, right, when they left Gaza in 2005. So except for the shuls, again, also I think many of the Israeli government, they bulldozed everything. They didn't want the Arabs to benefit from everything. So here in this situation, the Jews are going to be handing over all these their furniture and their houses to the Egyptians. So it was only right that the Egyptians should pay them for this. That's the Malbim's suggestion. There is a Gemara. The Gemara asks this question. It's like an obvious question. Like, this is something the Torah is emphasizing to such an extent. So the Gemara says the following. It says in Sanhedrin, and Daf Sadi Aleph Amin Aleph. Gemara tells you a story. Kamachas, one time. Bo b'nei Mitzrayim ladunim Yisrael. Ufnei Akzadron Mogdon. In the days of Alexander the Great. The Egyptians, the great 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 grandchildren of the pharaohs of the Egyptians, in the time of Moshe, they Alexander the Great now controlled the world, and they came, they brought the Jews to court, to Beis Din, to Alexander's court. Amrulo, and the Egyptians said to Alexander, Harei Omer v'nasan Hashem nasan eschein am b'nei Mitzrayim v'yishalom. They quoted the pasuk that God gave, the favor in the eyes of the Egyptians for the Jews to vayish alum, for the Jews to borrow the clothing. Again, when you borrow something, you got to eventually give it back. And therefore, they said, it's hundreds of years later, we want our possessions back. We want the gold, we want the silver, the value of the clothing. So the Gemara says that there was one Jew. So no one knew what to do. No one knew how to defend the Jews. What are we going to say? So there's a man by the name of Gevia ben Psissa who said, let me try to, you know, say something. I'll be the you know, the lawyer for us, for the Jewish people. So what did he say? So he turns to the Egyptians. He goes, "How do you know it's yours?" So they say, "Well, your Bible says it. Your Bible says that you borrowed it from us." So he said, "Okay, you didn't read the Bible carefully enough." He said, "I'll also bring a proof from the Torah, from the Bible." Shemar, what does it say? How long were the Jews in Egypt? 430 years, right? From the time of Yitzchak, 430 years. A long time. If we were there for 430 years, you know what you owe us? You owe us a lot of back pay. Right? You had all these thousands upon thousands of Jews working for you for free. You forced us to work for you. Reparations, right? So basically, you want your money back? I got a little issue with you guys. Not only do you not deserve your money back, you owe us more than we took. So Alexander said, "Hey, that's a pretty good argument." He turned to Egyptians, "What's your response?" So they responded, "Now, some of us, you know, give us a little time. You got to think of an answer." Batku, what happened? They never came back to court. They didn't have a response. So Chazal is saying that the Jews had every right to take this. It was only fair for the Jews to take this. I want to give one last answer. I've seen a few people give this suggestion. Okay, so, you know, maybe the Jews were deserving of back pay. But, like, again, back to my original question, why does Hashem have to make this such an important issue? Why is this part of Bris Bein HaBsarim? Why is this part of the, you know, the original covenant? Why does God have to tell Moshe, don't forget, for the Jews to do this? So it could be that from a psychological perspective, from an emotional perspective, it was critical for the Jews to request these items. In other words, for whatever reason, they had to be enslaved. Right? That was the covenant with Avram. But they couldn't remain with the mentality of being slaves. They had to be able to transition and to be able to change their perspective from being slaves to being people of free individuals. And people who are no longer afraid of their Egyptian taskmasters, people with confidence and the ability to ultimately connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to create a great nation. And therefore, I think it's part of it's a therapeutic process, you know, for the victims to be able to confront their tormentors, and to be able for them to see that their abusers and the ones who harm them to such an extent demonstrate some sort of contrition on some level, and certainly an acknowledgement that you are that we wronged you, that we harmed you. It was critical for the Jewish people to receive those gifts. And again, and the critical thing was to ask the Egyptians. It wasn't to steal it from the Egyptians, right? It wasn't, you know, wasn't during Choshech for you to take it from the Egyptians, but it was in broad daylight, right? When the Egyptians are telling you to leave, that the Jews had to ask the Egyptians, and the Egyptians, without any reservations, to give it to the Jew, to return those, give those items to the Jewish people, because that would demonstrate in the Jews' eyes that the Egyptians were somehow, you know, were not admitting to their failures. Again, it could be like the Gemara says that it was that it was payment, you know, deserving, that the Jews didn't deserve to be paid for all the work that they had endured over the years, the forced labor. But it was critical that it was received openly from the Egyptians without any reservations. In other words, they would only be able to move on, and to be able to assert themselves, and not, you know, being beholden to the Egyptians and still being tormented by the Egyptians, if they could hear from the Egyptians some sort of demonstration that, okay, you're now separate, you're now free, we're now allowing you to move on. And we know, unfortunately, you know, people who suffer a trauma at the hands of people who do terrible things to them, right? They're often not allowed to move. They're unable to move on in life because there's still like this connection to the person who abused them. And they say, you know, people who are certainly facing, you know, all types of terrible abuse, it's so important for them to confront, you know, their abusers, and to hear from their abusers that the abuser is guilty, that they wronged them, and that they, you know, and that it's clearly, and they need to clearly hear and see that the person is being punished, the person is acknowledging, you know, the harm that they inflicted. And so maybe for the Jewish people, like, this was a critical step. You know, Hashem could have always, again, like I said before, if Hashem wanted to, he could have dropped the coins from the heaven just like he dropped the man from the heaven. He could have given them, you know, clothing easily. But it wasn't for this, it wasn't, they weren't given these things because they necessarily needed them, because Hashem could have provided, but they needed it from an emotional perspective because of the trauma that they had suffered, and they needed to hear from the Egyptians and see from the Egyptians that they now were, you know, and entering a new stage, that there was like an acknowledgement of the wrong that the Egyptians had committed towards them, and only with that would they be able to move on and to push forward. I think it's only a little bit of development, you know, to think it, you know, through. But I think that there's a lot to this, from this emotional, psychological perspective, that this was critical, you know, for the Jewish people to make the transition. And we know, I'll end off with this, we know the Jews had a very difficult time transitioning from being slaves to free people, right? And the whole story of the desert is that slow process of making that transition from that mentality of being slaves. But this perhaps was, you know, one of the first steps. Obviously, another step is going to be, you know, for them next week's parsha, to see the Egyptians drowned at the sea, see that the Egyptians are no longer going to be a threat to them. But it's sort of like, unfortunately, that we've had this case in recent weeks, terrible situation in Israel, where this abuser committed suicide, and the victims never heard from the abuser that saying that he was sorry, that he apologized, right? Because he so had the Egyptians been killed at the, you know, at the Yam Suf, without giving the you know, the presents, the gifts, the money, so the Jews would have missed that critical step, right? That hearing the acknowledgement from the Egyptians that this is payment for everything we did to you, that we acknowledge the wrong that we did, and that this deservingly is yours, and that you know, you and probably it's not enough, as the Gemara points out, they probably were deserving a lot more, but at the very least it was something. It was this acknowledgement. So this was important for the Jewish people. I think in life in general, for you know, for individuals, you know, it's so important. You know, that's why, you know, if God forbid anyone ever harms someone, you know, you're supposed to apologize to them, because not only for you, for your own neshama, it's important to state you did something wrong, but for the victim, the person who was harmed by you, for them to be able to move on, it's often very important for them to hear from you that you made a mistake, that you did something wrong, and that you acknowledge it, and that hopefully will help the process for the person to be able to pick things up and to move on with their life. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.